This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard. It is tape recording number 6905 C29 SD Special 1, given on the 29th of May 1969. Its title is The Dianetic Program. It is 45 minutes long. Copyright 1969 by L. Ron Hubbard, all world performance rights reserved. Re-recorded by the Scientology Publications Organization. In this lecture, to the Sea Org graduates of the Standard Dianetics course, Ron outlines the new Dianetic program. Now, here is L. Ron Hubbard.
The Dianetic program has been a very fast action, rather typically Sea Org. A few weeks ago, using volunteer auditors, most of whom had had only HDA training, we began to check up as to the workability of Dianetics for a very broad release. The information had come to us that Dianetics was not being greatly used, actually had fallen out of use. Now, the only way anything could fall out of use, if it were being misused, or someone didn't understand exactly what it was for. On the road to clear, individuals have a tendency to jump all the stepping stones. Therefore, do not be surprised if they often fall in the book. The first stepping stone on the road to clear an OT was and is Dianetics. There have been many breakthroughs in Dianetics. In the earliest days, it was not uncommon for people to roll up hundreds of hours of auditing. Those same results, and better results by far than these, can be achieved today in only 5 or 6 hours of auditing. I don't say that only 5 or 6 hours of auditing totally ends the gains to be found in Dianetics, because the actual truth of the matter is the gains obtainable in Dianetics today are far superior to the gains which were uniformly attainable yesterday. In other words, the speed of the subject has been enormously increased. That's important, because in the early days, people could go on for hundreds of hours. The workability of the subject has been enormously increased in terms of the gain per individual. How much gain could be attained in Dianetics? And also, in addition to that, the way the Dianetics is now applied has been so greatly simplified that it is very difficult not to get results with Dianetics. A fellow really has to try. There have been several breakthroughs over the years, and there has been a recent breakthrough which has made this new action as effective as it has been. And that is what started, to tell the truth, the actual Let's Export Dianetics campaign in the Sea Org. And that was that chains, which is to say the mental image pictures that a being has, are united and held together by somatics, which is to say aches and pains and misemotion. Now, that was a breakthrough, because previously we used to audit narrative. The last time your mother spanked you, the first time your mother spanked you, let's find some earlier time when your mother spanked you. Cannot we find some time when somebody spanked you? Narrative. And that goes on and on and on. But the mind tends to find that interesting and pleasant or unpleasant, and they attribute to all the times their mother spanked them, they attribute to that all the difficulty they're now having. So they will very happily run. Well, let's see, you don't drive a car well. Very good. Now let's run out all the times when you had a car accident of some kind or another. Very good. And we run car accidents and car accidents and car accidents. Well, unfortunately, Satan has been on the track and has been living for a long time. And the number of car accidents which are available to be run out are almost infinite. So the breakthrough of 1969 was the discovery that Dianetics was, as it started to be, a somatic or physical activity. It is simply the somatics or the pictures which an individual has, united by somatics, which bring about the chain which is bothering him. And if you go down the somatic chain, it is very rapid, it's very quick. There'll be 2, 3, 4, 5 incidents, bang, you're right there at basic, zong zong, erased. Now this makes it very interesting. The way we started this program, even those here may not be fully aware of this, is I got a few auditors on the ship who had had some training in old HDA work. And without advising them of anything, I set them to work. They are not necessarily the auditors who were trained and who are going out on this program. And that was a research activity, and I want to thank those pre-clears who suffered through that. And so through their endeavors, we were able to put together the course as it now exists. And we were able to stabilize this course, and as soon as we got it stabilized, we said, you are about to save the planet. And factually, that's true. And then in training those people, now training them for blood, why, we were able to bring them up to a point where they were getting very uniform results, and they could apply Dianetics in a very standard way, and so that we can say now there is such a thing as standard Dianetics. And the funny part of it is there are no variables in standard Dianetics today. There are things you can do wrong, there are probably an infinity of things that you can do wrong, but there is a very easily followed track through the middle of the morass, and it brings one through to the other side. So that is standard Dianetics, and the advent of standard Dianetics means a great deal. In the first place, it means that when somebody gets a certificate, he can audit. Do you understand? That's what a certificate is. There are two qualifications to a Dianetics certificate now, and those two qualifications are, has had case gains on Dianetics and has been able to administer Dianetics so as to give case gains with it. And that is what a Dianetic auditor is. It is not somebody who has been through the check sheets a large number of times, or somebody who knows the Director of Certs and Awards. And that is the tradition which we are beginning. Now there are actually, at this stage of the game, three Dianetic auditors. There is the Hubbard Dianetic auditor from way back and so on. There is no reason particularly to wipe out the certificate. The certificate is still valid. But that course has been taught for some time. It is not necessarily true that that person can audit Dianetics today in comparison to the way Dianetics can be audited today. There is the next grade of auditor. He is the Hubbard Dianetic Counselor. Now, a Hubbard Dianetic Counselor has received gains, can get gains, and is a fully trained auditor, but he is not a supervisor. not a supervisor. He has not been trained to teach a course. Therefore, as it now will be established, the Hubbard Dianetic graduate is always and uniformly trained in an official organization. He is never trained in the field. Because we have found that this is the frail point. So he is always trained in the organization. He is trained to be an auditor. We don't care where he was trained to be an auditor. He may have to be retrained a bit as an auditor, and he certainly has to be fully trained as a course supervisor. And a Hubbard Dianetic graduate is qualified to teach a course in Dianetic. And he has been trained very thoroughly in that line. And this is the way we're going to keep this straight. So what we are actually graduating tonight are Hubbard Dianetic graduates. And they are going out to teach courses. And the auditors that they train will, in the largest percentage, be Hubbard Dianetic counselors. And of them will not be required course supervision training. But a certain percentage of them will be pushed on through to a Hubbard Dianetic graduate. Now, a Hubbard Dianetic graduate can go out to a gung-ho group or a Dianetic counseling group, new phrase, new organization. Dianetics is not a single man hanging out a shingle. A Dianetic counseling group, and will be able to train auditors if he is a Hubbard Dianetic graduate, and it will be able to audit pre-clears if he is a Hubbard Dianetic counselor. Now that makes a great deal of sense. That means that you're going to train a Hubbard Dianetic counselor, and he's going out and he's going to try to audit somebody, and he's going to do great until he has to find a Scientology auditor to straighten up two or three flubs that have happened in the lineup. And he's going to know at that time this thing called a Hubbard Dianetic counseling group, that is to say a Dianetic counseling group, is really necessary to push it along. And a Dianetic counseling group consists of, in full action, Hubbard Dianetic counselors, the administrative few people, even if only part-time, to handle the admin of the unit, and a Hubbard Dianetic graduate in order to teach Hubbard Dianetic counselors out in the field, and a Scientology auditor to hold down review. And that way we will get a minimum fall on the head. So therefore, a Hubbard Dianetic counselor ought to be given at least a short rundown of what a Dianetic counseling group is. Because if he goes out and tries to hang up his shingle and say that he is going to just audit people and audit people and audit people, I can tell you by experience, his whole activity will go away and with the wind, it is no longer there. They blow away fast. I can even name you a country or two where two or three auditors, without any idea of admin, without any idea of any qualifications, actions or any repair actions, went tearing into an area, got some gains on a majority of people, and then roughed up enough cases which they didn't take care of, neglected their administration, didn't pay any attention to their PRO actions of any kind whatsoever, and muddied up the whole area. And then eventually they sort of went into a decline and they didn't know what was happening. And so they moved away and found another group to rough up. And that was a bad show. What they actually need, at least on a part-time basis, they need certain posts held. They need a registrar. They need somebody to answer a telephone. They need at least some version of ethics. They need a PRO. They need these various little posts held. And now if those posts are held, then the Hubbard Dianetic graduate can go ahead and teach auditors. He can make Hubbard Dianetic counselors. There would be no lack of auditors. As soon as they start getting into hot water, they had certainly better send one of those auditors into an org to be trained fast, because they're going to have a Scientology auditor sitting there in qual to start patching up the cases which somehow or other didn't come out right. Do you follow? Now, if it is done that way, you're going to find it growing and becoming very stable. And from the center point of training in an org, where you will be making Hubbard Dianetic counselors and Hubbard Dianetic graduates, and eventually probably will practically do nothing but Hubbard Dianetic graduates, there'll be enough Dianetic counselor courses all over the place. And you have to pay attention to the fact that when you make a Hubbard Dianetic graduate, you may have to retrain him a little bit. Maybe his training wasn't quite as sharp as it might have been. So you make sure that he's a good auditor, and then you make a good course supervisor out of him, and then he can go out and make more auditors, and that is happens to be what the planet needs. Now, what we've done in actual fact is make a major breakthrough in dissemination. And what I'm describing to you now is not so much the technology of what we're doing. We take that for granted. What I'm describing to you is the technology of dissemination. There are something on the order of 3 billion sick human beings out there. It's a very, very funny thing, but I think I have yet to find a well human being. It's the most remarkable thing you ever saw. I have been all over the world. I have studied 21 primitive cultures, including the American and English. And in all that time, I have never really found anybody who was well. They keep falling on their heads. They spend a childhood which is happy amongst intervals of whooping cough, measles, scarlet fever. They go to school between pink eye, belly aches, and just plain malingering itis. And then they go to work, and what's most amazing is to read the letters of humanoids. This is very amazing, particularly in the Bible Belt or Corn Belt of the United States. If you read letters from those people, you will understand exactly what I mean. Dear Bessie Ann, George isn't feeling well. Aunt Mabel was just operated on for gallstones. Benny has taken up medicine. I don't feel very well today. I keep getting these spells. Hoping you are the same. Now, oddly enough, when somebody is this fixated upon his body, he is not likely to be very interested in his spirit. Therefore, my observation adds up to the fact there are about 3 billion sick human beings out there, and it's going to take an awful lot of auditors. We never figured out before how to make that many auditors. Well, a Hubbard Dianetic counselor could probably be made in something on the order, if you really pushed it home, they could probably be made in 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. Well, people can afford that much time. Now, those few that don't make it in that length of time, well, keep them over a while. They'll eventually make it too. And you will make auditors. And if we consistently train the Hubbard Dianetic graduates who teach the course in orgs, and we keep the quality of that course up, then we're not going to muddy up the environment with a bunch of unsolved cases. And if Dianetic auditing is done in a counseling group, why, How can you miss? How can you lose? Now, because there's a Scientology auditor sitting in this Dianetic Counseling group, Scientology won't drop out because it's quite obvious to one and all the way along the line, that Scientology solves Dianetics. Dianetics is, in the main, miraculous. See, that's miraculous. And here's something that solves Dianetics. You follow? So you don't have to do very much sales work. Now, that isn't the only gain we have achieved here. We have achieved an entirely different and new gain about which I have said very little. I have found out that individuals are sufficiently fixated upon their body somatics as to use the techniques designed to bring about spiritual freedom to solve their ingrown toenails. Do you talk about a sellout? It's a complete betrayal of the technology. Somebody gets up and he's been ramming around and going into orgs and HCCs and so forth, and then we catch him at something on the order of OT2, and we read this, and it says he's still trying to get rid of his injected eyeballs. He's gone to OT6. He's gone to OT6. And he doesn't think he's made it because he still has a small rash on his nose, and he's been trying ever since he got into an org to get rid of it, and nobody ever went out and told him, why don't you put some salve on it, man? Now, what will immediately happen as a result of this Dianetic program is that individuals will be made into well-happy human beings, and from that point take off into their grades and OT sections, and you will now really see something. People have been sort of standing around wondering why we didn't tip over the Empire State Building. Well, actually the Washington Monument's what I've had my eye on. But they've been wondering what's going on. Well, it's actually because of an omitted grade. And we taught the class 8s that if you omit somebody's grades, he won't make it. And what do you know? There was the biggest grade of all had been omitted, and that was Dianetics. And with that grade omitted, they weren't making the grade on up the line. Now you're going to start seeing people fly. You see? Now the graduates here from the flagship of the Sea Org at this time could easily get very self-conscious and even nervous about the burden they carry and what is expected of them. But it isn't very much, and I wish to put your mind at rest at it. All we expect you to do is convert the planet. Well, you have the technology, you have the administrative know-how, we have orgs out there to back you up. If we cooperate with the medical doctor properly, I'm sure he will welcome us with open arms. I have had medical doctors time and time again trying to give me 9/10 of their practice because they couldn't do anything for them and were tired of them. Literally true. And you've got the tech. All you have to do is make very sure that when you train somebody to audit, before you put that certificate in his hand, that you yourself are very satisfied that he himself has had case gains from Dianetics, and that he himself has brought about good case gains and can be counted on to do so in his preclears. And that when he teaches a course, he knows that course well enough so that he doesn't give opinions to make up for the fact he doesn't know the dates of the bulletins. I made a breakthrough just a night or two ago. I found out that if the auditor was trained lightly or slightly on what bulletin, what was in, sooner or later the course is going to go to pieces. Because the student's confidence in the course supervisor evaporates. Because he thinks that this instructor, his supervisor, is giving him opinions or is giving him new tech. And he gets the idea there must be some hidden data line. But if his course supervisor says to him, oh, HCLB 27 May, about the third paragraph, you'll find the answer to that. The student says, my God, this man knows his business. This was the straight dope, and he takes it with confidence and goes out and gets results. So a course supervisor is basically someone who, in addition to his other duties, can refer the person to the exact bulletin to get his information and never tells him another thing. That gives you then the fact that a course supervisor is quite superior in his knowledge of the subject to the person who is simply auditing. But as long as you remember to turn out good course supervisors that can hit their data off 1, 2, 3, they know exactly what it's about. When those fellows go out and teach auditors to audit, you know there's going to be results. Now, if the org is backing them up, if a gung-ho group or a Dianetic counseling group is out there, you know very well that it's going to get about 20 to 25% flops. They are beyond the control of the auditor. A certain percentage of those, the fellows all caved in with lumbosis, and they're simply handled by sending them to the medical doctor and say, when you get rid of your lumbosis, come back for some auditing. The remainder of those are composed of people who are in some sad effect from life, ARC breaks, they're from some upper level put together of some kind or another, or they're a resistive case. Something like this is what is wrong with them. And what you have to do with one of those fellows is turning him over to a Scientology auditor. If you haven't, if you're Dianetic counseling group does not have a Scientology auditor, so on, then that preclear should be sent to the nearest org, to the qual of the nearest org to be handled. And now about the highest level Scientology auditor that a Dianetic counseling group could count upon, about the highest one would be maybe a 4, a class 4. There's nothing wrong with a class 4. But what's going to happen is class 4, he's going to handle a certain number of these cases and clean up the area to a certain degree, and then these backlog cases that didn't get solved, there will be a few of them left, and the way you handle those is to make sure that you get a St. Hill graduate who was a class 8. Now those can be sent to the org until they get a class 8. In other words, we've got answers for it all the way up. As the area gets muddied up with a few cases that are unsolved, we start solving those cases with Dianetics and putting them back. We're solving it with Dianetics. When it gets muddied up a bit and there are a few unsolvable cases, we solve those with Scientology and send them back to Dianetics. And when you didn't have a high enough class of auditor in the area, it'll narrow down and there'll only be old Mrs. Jones. And you could say, well, there'll probably be a lot more old Mrs. Joneses around before you finish up. You ought to have a class 8 in this area. And in that way, that's true. You will cut it down to 100%. So we don't expect a Dianetic auditor to be able to walk out there and do 100% of these cases, because it isn't a 100% subject. It has to be backed up with Scientology. You see? But if it's backed up by Scientology, it becomes 100% something. Do you follow? So we've got it very nicely worked out. We have an auditor who does not have to know every nicety. He doesn't have to be trained for 12 years. He can get his job done. We can then back him up with somebody who can solve those he can't solve. And then we can even go so far as to back that guy up with somebody who can solve the cases that the Scientology Class 4 auditor can't solve. Do you get the idea? In other words, we can move it up the line. Now, what's going to happen all this time is you will see that in an area where you have good Dianetic gains, you will see people are very cheerful, industrious, happy, and going around. You are actually going to change as you graduates go out. You are actually going to change the entire operating standards of every org you go into. You will change what they expect to have happen by doing your job. It's going to be so revelatory to these fellows that you will be utterly fascinated. Now you will see gradually, day by day, some excitement build up on this and the bit. And if the excitement happens on staff, you will start seeing it happen in the area. And if it happens in the area, I can assure you that it will happen in the world. The only thing we have been opposed by all these years is, and this sounds like a propaganda line, which it isn't really, I finally isolated what it's all about. There's Russian mental technology. And they have moved that into every university there is. And it's not a healing technology. It is a control technology. Psychology and psychiatry are control technologies, and that's all they are. And that's why, Mr. Fat Cat, the very best people, the fascistically minded individual, sides, or the communistically minded or police state type individual, why he sides at once with psychology and psychiatry. He is counting on those fellows to control the population of which he is afraid. And these fellows have fallen down on the job. As a matter of fact, there is evidence to believe that in an area where you teach psychology and where you teach psychiatry, you will get a revolt. And the revolt in every American university, in every Spanish university, English, come about directly from having imported a Russian mental technology which will do nothing ever but breed revolt under the guise that it is controlling the population for the very best people. These are not healing technologies, so don't listen to a moment. There has never been a time when a psychiatrist operating with that technology has ever resolved anything. In the whole world, there is not one case made well by psychiatry. Neither is one case made well by psychology. Psychoanalysis has a slightly better record. As you know, that's Austrian, Eastern European. And occasionally, some person has learned to live with his illness. But what we're going into is the fact that nobody thinks there is or could be a healing technology because they have been lied to. They have been told these things are supposed to take care of these things. Psychology and psychiatry are supposed to have taken care of this. And the public at large thinks they mean that they're supposed to heal things. And they're not. They're just supposed to keep somebody quiet. That's in all our textbooks. The only reason to give people electric shock, well, we gave him an electric shock and he was quiet for 3 months. Didn't make any moves. Didn't do a thing for 3 months. Gave him a prefrontal lobotomy. He never moved the rest of his life. We're a success. Now, we are a bona fide healing technology. We're not interested in control. we're perforce more interested in helping people. We're not interested in controlling them. And you really don't know with what resentment I have assumed any responsibility for controlling even an organization. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. It doesn't really add up to anything. I'm taught the hard way, though, that if you don't have a certain amount of ethics around, the staff members get knocked about by somebody who is interpolating the area. And you're going to find that, too. You can walk into a class, your heart is open, you're all set, you're going to teach these 23 fellows that you have in order, you're going to teach them to audit. And then you run into Mr. X. And you find yourself in the position of the frog who climbed up 3 inches every night and fell back 4. And you won't be able to make it. You'll find out all your good work's being undone. This fellow's going around, he's wrecking cases, evaluating for people, chopping them. How do you know this stuff works? My brother's a psychiatrist, and he says, see? And no matter how kind-hearted you are, you are now put on a road to the left. You just go into total decay, the class goes all to pieces, and you don't make any auditing. You go to the right, you send for the ethics officer. And then you find out you can make some progress. And that is about the only reason I have ever gotten into control. Control itself can get out of hand very easily. You can over-control an area. You can start breaking auditors and people's hearts and so forth, but that is only when control itself goes adrift and isn't following its technology. And you will find sometime in an organization that you have an ethics officer who hasn't a ready clue what the hell he's supposed to do. And it's about that time that you go up and see the executive council and you say, your course ends tomorrow unless I get an ethics officer who knows his business today. You mustn't let it be used suppressively, but you'll find out that you will have to use some of it just to get your job done. Well, I think this is the launching of a very, very successful program. I see nothing standing in its road of any kind whatsoever. The list of names which I see in front of me here as the first auditors, the first Hubbard Dianetic graduates, I have every confidence in. I'd be very happy to have any of them continue to audit for me. I am, as a matter of fact, just a little bit sad. I have sat up in my office every night now, ever since this project began, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, working out of your sight, but not entirely out of your ken, and have managed to keep it sorted out and keep it CS. I have found out uniformly that a fellow who is going to turn in good sessions has a good grip on his material. And a fellow who doesn't have a good grip on his material is not going to turn in good sessions. If I were going to do it again along this line, I would only let an auditor audit one session and let me look at it before I let him audit 3 in the day that I got them a look at, because there's no reason to ruin 3 PCs. A fellow knows and can do Dianetics as well as he himself has been through the materials, and as long as he himself is getting case gains. Therefore, a first class is rather difficult, because in that class you don't have a backlog of auditors who are racking up their auditing time. So it is very easy to keep a continuing class running, and it's very hard just to take 25 people, teach them, and somehow or another sort your way through to get enough case games out of this so that you make enough auditors who can do their job. But on a continuing basis, I would let one auditor audit one PC, and I might even go so far as to, if I was really hedging my bets, let one auditor do one assessment, and then let me see it. And in that way, I wouldn't get any wreck cases. And if he did that assessment, the least bit woggle-boggle, he would go right back on the course for some more study. And that's the way I would work it up. I wouldn't specialize in bunging up cases. And then those auditors who have made it and are doing a good job are now, later on in the course, cleaning up those who are lagging behind, and you eventually get this thing rolling in a sort of a cycle. You've got certain auditors to count on. Unfortunately, tonight, I'm losing practically all of my auditors. What I do now, I don't know. I will send those that are still going through the course and so forth for a polish up, and I'll get them straight, and they unfortunately have to be fired off practically at once, which again leaves me with no audit. Somehow or another, though, I don't think you will have much time to worry about the problems I'm having with this, because those problems are about to be yours. So therefore, I want to thank everyone, the supervisors, the ship's officers, the aides who have assisted in this course and has assisted in launching this program. And I really had a great deal of cooperation. I'm very pleased with it. I am sure that we have the wave of the future begun here. We are handling the missing grade. I'm extremely pleased. Everybody pitched in, and they did a grand job on this. I'm very pleased with everybody who has been on the course. To those few who have not yet graduated from the course, there is hope. Not much, but there's hope. So therefore, I would like to take this opportunity of thanking you and thanking the whole flagship for your great cooperation in these last many weeks for wrapping up this program. Thank you.